of you that maybe wouldn't know this, was written around 60 AD, written during Paul's first imprisonment in Rome. It is believed that Paul had not even visited Colossae at that time. During Paul's three-year ministry in Ephesus, Epaphras received Christ as his Savior, and they believe that he was the one that carried this letter to the Colossians. Let me give you just a little bit more history on the Church of Colossae. The Colossians church was a young body and had begun to let old ways creep back into their lives and affecting the way that they believed. They became the target of heretical attack, which got back to Paul while in prison and leading him to write to the Church of Colossae. But what I'd like to focus on tonight is how Paul opens the letter and what is significant to us today, especially today in the church of 2020. So we're just going to open up with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we just ask that your word would be able to speak to our lives, dear God, whether we're sitting here or online, that Lord, that you will just kind of open up this scripture to us, open up some thoughts regarding great expectations, and allow us to walk out of here tonight or in our homes tonight and be able to apply this to us. We thank you that your word is alive. We thank you that your word attaches itself to our hearts and souls, and we can live our lives on it. It's just such a beautiful foundation for us. And so we ask you to bless this in your holy and precious name. And everybody said, amen. All right, so in Colossians chapter 1, verse 1, we're going to read this together. It says, this letter is from Paul, chosen by the will of God to be an apostle of Christ Jesus, and from our brother Timothy. We are writing to God's holy people in the city of Colossae, who are faithful brothers and sisters in Christ. May God our Father give you grace and peace. We always pray for you, and we give thanks to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, for we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and your love for all of God's people, which come from your confident hope of what God has reserved for you in heaven. You have had this expectation ever since you first heard the truth of the good news. So Paul is bringing to attention three things. The first one is giving thanks to God, and that's going to come up for you. Are we thankful is a question. Or have we become more ungrateful than thankful? What we notice first in Christ, in Paul's use of encouraging words to the church of Colossae, is he says right here, he refers to them as God's holy people. He calls them faithful brothers and sisters in Christ. He blesses them with a prayer of grace and peace, and he makes sure they know they are covered in prayer always. And then he says this, we give thanks to God. I have a question. Have you ever done something for someone and you didn't receive the proper thank you back? You know, I mean, I think this happened quite a few times with me, but I remember moving, when we moved here from California back in 2007, and we had bought our home. We came in, and the neighbors were all greeting us. Well, I formed some relationships, which I've shared before, of my two neighbors that would come in and work out with me in the garage, and we developed this really awesome relationship. Well, one night we were just talking, and they brought up, I guess you guys had a hurricane here in 2006, am I correct? Yeah. Well, it had blown down two big trees that used to be in our yard before we'd moved there. Well, the people that lived there was just a lady with her daughter and had no husband, no brothers, whatever. It was just a mom and a daughter. And there was no way that they could get somebody to come out to cut the trees up. And so all the neighbors got together and decided they're going to go over and cut these trees into pieces and have them removed for her. And so they're sitting there talking about it. They're talking about how long it took and how hard the work was and all this. And all of a sudden they just go, and Matt, and here's the thing that, and they even said it created a bitter root in them that she never said thank you for any of the work that the neighbors did for her. And what bothered them the most about that was that she was always professing that she was a Christian woman, a church-going woman, and all this. And it just set this bar that for some of my neighbors who weren't believers, that Christians were not going to be thankful for times like that when they came to help. They weren't who they said they were. Is everybody following me? So maybe this is more based, maybe it's based on our expectations. Maybe it's based on the timing of the gratitude or just simply that it went unnoticed. Someone who is ungrateful or is unthankful, at some point it is going to start to bother you. But what I want to just take a second and make sure that we're not becoming an unthankful people, but a people who sincerely is thankful for, guys, listen to this, those who love us, for those who pray for us, those who have given to us maybe a need that was met or just being a blessing to us, those that we thankful for, those that we know that are in our corner, those that we trust, who we can confide in, who we know have our backs, those who invest in you, not from, you know, not just from money, but they actually invest in your life, and that we're thankful for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Can you give me an amen for that? Not being thankful or ungratefulness in our lives, guys. I'm really struggling with this computer thing, so just stick with me tonight. Not being thankful or ungrateful in our lives, it's not just limited to gifts or that the things that people do for us. This is not just about giving or receiving gifts. It may come in the form of comparing what you have to what somebody else has in their life. Is everybody following me there? It's like we can't be thankful for what we have because we're comparing what other people have. You know, I had a friend years ago, and we met him out in the hills of, it's outside the Bay Area near the valley, but it was out kind of near Manteca, and there's these hills that you can ride motorcycles and four-wheelers, and so my wife and my kids drove out there to meet him, and well, we get there, and he's got this humongous trailer. I'm not even kidding. It was like from here to there, and he just had all his motorcycles and four-wheelers, and he had this big old 3500 truck. I can't even remember which one it was, if it was Ford or Chevrolet, but it was just one of the big ones. And guys, guess what happened to me? I'm looking at all the toys. Is everybody following me? And I'm starting to envy. It's like all of a sudden being thankful for what God has given me is not even in my mind. I'm literally focusing on what my friend has. And so that was just something that you know I have to work through. This is something that I think we all have to work through. If only I was taller, or had more money, then I'd be satisfied. What can also display this is by keeping track or keeping record of all the people who neglect to thank you, or constantly worrying about, I better get recognized for what I've done. Did everybody catch that? Being unthankful can also show we are taking for granted the goodness that God has given us through other people. Remember, guys, listen to this. This letter is being written while Paul is in prison. He's not writing a letter about how hard prison is, or nobody's visiting me, please send me money, or about bringing attention to himself. He's saying, we are always praying for you, and we give thanks to God for you. He is genuinely expressing thanks from a grateful heart. God, please give us all a grateful heart. Amen. Let's be a thankful people. In fact, we're going to be starting a series in a couple of weeks called Thanks 2020. Okay? So guys, check this out. This has been a mess of a year, but we still have a lot to be thankful for. And we're going to talk about that as a church and make sure that we're staying a thankful people during one of the hardest years in memory. Give thanks for Jesus. Give thanks for those who invest in you. Not just financially, but spiritually. Give thanks for what you have. Give thanks for those who go to God for you, standing in the gap. There really is a blessing from being a person that chooses to be thankful. You know, I shared one story about dealing with my grandma Stewart back in the day when I don't know what it was where, you know, you get to that age where toys is not what your grandma gives you anymore. All of a sudden now they're giving you shirts or they're starting to give you colognes. And I told the story about her giving me Stetson cologne. Stetson is not going to get you too many girls. Now, it doesn't smell that great. It's got the cowboy look to it and everything. And I guess it's what it is. But I remember that when she finally started giving me money, how thankful I was. Now, even in now with birthday presents with me, you know, you think, well, everybody should know me by now, whatever, but I can still get a present that I might not go out and get for myself, but thank God, God brought in gift cards all of a sudden, you know what I mean? So it's easier. But here's the thing, is that it really is a blessing that we know that people even care about us to be able to gift us, that they think of us in that way. Philippians 4:6 says this, Don't worry about anything. Everybody say anything. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything and tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. Don't worry, but pray and give thanks during the times of bills that are piling up, finances that might not be meeting where it was last month, health issues, or reports from doctors, things that are going on in the marriage that you're needing help with, anxiety, fear, phobias. Paul is saying, don't worry. Philippians is saying, thank him during those times because he is there. 1 Corinthians 1:5 says it all. For in him you have been enriched in every way. Isn't this good, you guys? What's so cool about scripture is it's not man's opinion. This is God breathing it to us and giving it to us. You have everything you need. And you should be able to say, just say, thank God. Thank you, God. From prison in Rome, couldn't get any worse. And Paul is giving thanks. That's the beauty. Here's a second thought that comes out of the scripture that we read. And that is that faith, it's a faith that inspires. Colossians 1:3-4, I'm going to go back to it. It says, we always pray for you and we give thanks to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, for we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and your love for all God's people. So he's saying that, for we have heard of your faith. Paul is in prison and he's hearing about the faith of this church and it's inspiring him. Paul is making it very clear that having faith in God in today's world, it inspires others that they can too. Through our faith, God gives us spiritual influence. Paul is having influence and it's through a letter. That faith inspires hope. And we're going to talk about hope here in just a second, but faith, true faith, and let me say this to everybody, when you're walking in true faith, it's irresistible. People are drawn to times where we're moving in our faith, the way we become, or you become a great leader for Christ. It all starts by how well we follow him. It's called our faith walk. And there's a reason why they call it this, or it's referred to as, is because we're walking our life out in faith. And it's for everybody to see. You know, and the crazy thing, here's the thing about faith, is that I can still make a mistake. Do you know that? I can become overzealous. I can have a momentary lapse where maybe I am unthankful. But whatever the mistake is that I'm still living my life. People still know that I'm doing the best that I can by walking out my faith and being there with Christ and letting Christ be the head of who I am. It's visible to all. But here's the great thing, it's to be an inspiration. 2 Corinthians 5:7 says, for we walk by faith and not by sight. It tells us to walk by faith because, you know, if you think about it, Enoch walked with God. And when we walk out our faith, others recognize it and they see it. They see that it's genuine. The Bible says the just will live by what? Everybody say live. That we will live. That we will live our lives by faith. Isn't that what we want to inspire other people to do, is to live, to find Jesus, and to be able to live by faith? And it isn't always easy, and it always doesn't make sense, but we do the best that we can. Sometimes it seems like nothing is happening in the terms of spiritual growth. It doesn't feel like we're changing. We might not necessarily see any changes immediately, but as we are walking by faith, living it day by day, month by month, year by year, we are being transformed. And believe it or not, I promise you, because they're watching and I've talked about this, we are inspiring others. My grandfather Stuart, back when he was still senior pastoring at Llewellyn Community Church in San Leandro, California, people will always ask me, what's a Llewellyn? Well, Llewellyn was the name of the street the church is on. So he was the pastor of Llewellyn Community Church. And he would come in to my office and he'd poke his head in and he'd say, Matthew, you want to go get lunch? And I knew when he asked me to go to lunch, it was going to be a two-hour event. And so I had to make sure that I had the time. But when I would go, we would sit at a table, and it didn't matter if it was breakfast, lunch, or dinner. He always had a cup of coffee. And my grandfather would take that cup, and he would wrap his fingers around it, and he would sit back, and then he would just close his eyes. And he would hold that cup, and he would talk to me the entire time with his eyes shut. I could have gotten up and gone to the restroom. I could have drove around the block, and he would not have known that I even had gotten up. But he was an inspiration to me, and I'm going to tell you why. Because in his story, remember, we're talking about walking in faith. Back in 1948, he comes back from World War II, already recognizing that God spared him going through the Rock of Gibraltar. He was, him and two of his other buddies that were in the force with him, they got thrown in jail one night in Italy. And that night, the Americans came through and bombed that city, and their cell was the only cell standing after the bombs fell. So he can go back and he can look at the times where God spared his life. So in 1948, he's looking for a job. He's an alcoholic. He has no income. And out of getting saved, a radically saved at a revival, a tent revival, God calls him to be a minister of the gospel in 1948. God immediately takes away his craving for alcohol, saves him, delivers him, this whole thing. But guys, listen to this. Almost 73 years later, he's still preaching the gospel at age 95 on YouTube. He's an inspiration. I've watched him walk his life. I hear the stories of even where when him and my grandmother had the six children and how they were trying to raise them on a pastor's salary back in the 50s and early 60s and what they struggled through. But it was just a constant walking for everybody to see, visible, of what God can do. Paul hadn't even seen the church. Hadn't even seen it in action, but he had heard about it and he was inspired. And remember, Paul says, we have heard of your faith. And he also said, and we have heard of your love for people. Loving others is walking out your faith. It's living by faith. Loving others inspires others to be more loving. Even those who do not know Christ feel and they can see the love. And don't we need some love right now in our nation? We need this. I want people to hear about the love that can be found in Harvest VA. Amen. Give me an amen for that. I want them to be able to walk into this house and just feel the tangible love of Jesus Christ in this room. Let's love. Let's let the love of God inspire as many people as possible. It's all a part of our faith. It's all a part of this faith journey, and it's a faith that inspires. And here's the third thought. Paul spoke of a confident hope, and he spoke about it, that, and I believe that a confident hope is contagious. Colossians 1:5 says, for we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and your love for all of God's people, which comes from your confident hope. One definition for hope, check this out, is to look forward to with confidence or expectation. Colossians 1:5, again, in the New Living Testament version, it says this, you have had this expectation ever since you first heard the truth of the good news. We have to look for every opportunity to bring the word of God with all its hope to those who have no hope. When we bring hope, we bring life. The gospel of Jesus Christ gives a confidence that the world will never be able to give. And Psalms 27:13 says, I am still confident of this. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. People who are hopeless can have this feeling of there is no way of escape. And there can be a great sense of loss and hopelessness. I shared about a funeral that I went to that I wasn't doing, but I walked into it, and I told you how there was no sense of hope because there was just so much hate in the room. In 2008, I was asked to do an Army veteran's funeral. They did not attend our church. It was just a lady that attended our church, and she asked us to do it for the family. And again, I go to this funeral. There was probably only about 15 people there. The military did a beautiful job of the ceremony, of everything that they do with the flag and the guns, and it was just beautiful. Playing the trumpet, and guys, I was sitting there, and I'm thinking, man, this is going to be an amazing experience because I had never done a military funeral before. And all of a sudden, it just dawned on me that as the pastor got up, as I got up to go to run it and to begin it, I opened it up. I said, if there's anybody that would like to come up and share stories of this man and his life and what it meant to you, now would be the time. And I stepped to the side. Guys, listen to me. Not one person came up. Nobody had anything to say. I didn't see anybody shedding any tears. And in another time, there was literally, I'm sitting there and there was no sense of hope. There was no joy. Didn't seem like there was going to be any missing going on there. And it's there, and we have this in our world where you have more people than yet you could ever imagine that are living every day without hope. And it's imperative that we come alongside those who are hopeless and bring the good news of Jesus and all, everybody say all that he has to offer, because Jesus is that confident hope. John 10:10 says, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. In every life, every walk of life, and desire of life, it all points to one thing, and that is hope. The hope that there is something better, that there's something greater, something significant that lets me know that I am loved and that somebody knows who I am. The kind of hope is only going to be found, is only going to be found in God. That hope that gives confidence that my faith is not in vain. That faith that is built of the hope of Jesus Christ, confident and expecting greatness, the greatness of Jesus Christ. Remember, Paul said this, you have had this expectation. Because of the hope, we can expect great things in the name of Jesus. Psalms 25:21 says, may integrity and uprightness protect me, because my hope, Lord, is in you. Psalms 31:24 says, be strong and take heart, all you who hope in the Lord. And then Psalms 33:20 says, we wait in the hope for the Lord. He is our help and he is our shield. Paul is affirming the hope that is found in the gospel and that it is changing the hearts of many. And Paul is encouraged by it. I just want to close this up and start to close it up. The Colossians is a letter that screams to the greatness of Christ. There is no hope in any other name. I want to just say this. There is power, there is forgiveness, there is eternal life, and there is hope in the name of Jesus Christ. Paul is making it very clear that Christ is the most important part of the formula. I don't know if you noticed, but 4 times in 5 verses, he mentions Christ to the Colossians. Moses was known as the deliverer of God's people from Egypt, but there was no hope in his name. He didn't even make it to the promised land. David was known as a mighty warrior and a king of his people, but there was no hope in his name. In fact, in Psalms 22, David points his people to the coming Messiah. So here's just some thoughts, and I like us just to kind of think on this, and then we're going to go into a time of prayer. The greatness of Christ pushed Paul forward. He never looked back. Even in prison, he was constantly looking forward. Today, the greatness of a Christ affects us in the same powerful way. And I just want to recap this. The first is be thankful. Always be thankful. God's blessings in our lives, in our homes, our family, our work, our friends, in Harvest VA, be thankful. Can I get an amen for that? Secondly, is be an inspiration to others. Ask God to use you for the glory of his kingdom. Ask God for a divine appointment with somebody that you can just be an inspiration to them. Pray that your faith would inspire just one. Everybody say one. Just one to come to Jesus. Just one. And then lastly, be a confident believer. Know who you are. Expect something great to happen in your life. Do we believe that Jesus is truly great? Amen? So expect something. If so, stand strong on the hope of your salvation and the hope that is only found in him. When I came to Christ, I was probably at one of the lowest points in my life. It was. I know for a fact. And I remember that as Christ came into my life, something began to stir, because I was at a place of hopelessness, and then all of a sudden now I'm having hope. And I can remember that as the Lord began to speak to me, and especially as he began to put a calling on my life. And let me tell you something, when God put that calling on my life, I had no clue what a calling was. I didn't even know what to do with it. All I knew was that I wanted to be a computer science major. I'm just moving on with life, but something's changed. Is everybody with me? Something's changed. And then all of a sudden, the expectation started to come up, where I understood that what Christ had done for me wasn't just about forgiving my sins, but that he had something really great in line for me. and that he was going to use me for something amazing. And so it's a radical change, and I want all of us to be this confident believer. So let's just go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for your word. I want to thank you for this letter that we could kind of just break down just a little bit. Nothing too deep, just something to where we can look in and see what Paul was trying to address. And God, I pray that every person in this room, every person that is online tonight listening to this, that we can always find our places to where we can be thankful for who God is in our life. Lord Jesus, I would also say that, Lord, that we would be a people that we know we're already visible. We already know that people are watching us, but that our faith would be a visible, strong faith that we're walking for them. Dear Lord, that people would want to come, that it would be a contagious thing. It would be contagious faith. That we might have that opportunity just to lead somebody to you. But God, in the end, dear Lord, I just pray that every person, especially tonight in this room, that Jesus, that we are at a place to where we know our faith is a strong faith. God, if the enemy is coming against us, God, if the enemy is messing with our minds, Lord, if the enemy is trying to get us to look a different way, I pray that tonight, in the name of Jesus, devil, you have to be gone. And God, lastly, help us to be an inspiration to somebody. Again, I say it again, just that we could lead one to you, Jesus. Use us. That we would all say yes. Everybody, just say yes. Yes, Lord. Yes to what you want us to do. And we just ask this in your holy and precious name. And everybody said, amen. Guys, before I go, I want to say this very quickly. Starting next Wednesday, we will be having service as we normally do.